has an announcement that she wants to make that she feels really strong the Lord wants her to share. You want free care. Or evaluation. Is anybody warm? I see some folks are like, do you mind turning the fan on at least temporarily? And then if you see people putting their coats over their shoulders, then you can turn them off. You know, there are a lot of songs in the scripture, and especially around the birth of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at one of them today, but I'm going to give you my version of Simeon's song first, and then we'll open up the scriptures to see what God has to say through Simeon. Just bear with me. Put up with my singing and mediocre playing. Okay. Should learn to play without using a capo, but yeah, Stevie, go home. No, no, I'm just kidding. I have been waiting, anticipating Messiah to come. Most think I'm lazy, hopelessly crazy for waiting so long. But God has revealed His promise sealed. My life will not cease till I see His salvation for our holy nation and then die in peace. Today I am led to the sanctuary, a couple approaching, holding their baby. Now I'm holding in my arms the joy of the earth, the light of the nations. I'm looking in the eyes of God my Father. I am singing songs of praise to the Savior of all, the Lord of the nations. I'm dancing all around with the glory of Israel. No pomp or procession, a legal concession to the law of the Lord. A full presentation, sincere dedication, fulfilling God's word. And holding the child, so meek and mild, my eyes well with tears. The goal of my waiting, my anticipating for so many years. Today I am led to the sanctuary, a couple approaching, holding their baby. Now I'm holding in my arms the joy of the earth, the light to the nations. I'm looking in the eyes of God my Father. I am singing songs of praise to the Savior of all, the Lord nations, I'm dancing all around with the glory of Israel. He is the light for revelation, and your eyes have seen His salvation. Now I'm holding in my arms the joy of the earth, the light to the nations. I'm looking in the eyes of God my Father. I am singing songs of praise to the Savior of all, the Lord of the nations. I'm dancing all around with the glory of Israel. With the glory of Israel. With the glory of Israel. What I imagine Simeon's song would have been sort of like, because Simeon was a character that was, we were told, was righteous and devout. Let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll find out a little bit more about Simeon. Luke 2, start at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived, when the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, which was 40 days, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of dove and two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." You know, for a child that's waiting for Christmas morning, it must seem like forever. Because they know the gifts are coming. And they know they're wrapped, and they're imagining in their minds just ripping and tearing to see what's in those boxes. And that kind of anticipation is the kind of anticipation that Simeon had for God's gift to come into the world. He couldn't wait to see it, to unwrap it, and to find out what this was. And so his anticipation of God's gift was eventually turned into a joyful song, which we just read, beginning at verse 29 through verse 32. And I think it was a little bit like the one I just sang. But I want us to take a closer look at Simeon's song so that we can see what is to sing about. So let's take a look at this. We'll just go step by step through this and take a look at some details. What was Simeon singing about? Well, first of all, the thing that he was singing about was that God envelops his people. Notice he says here, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Later, he refers to that consolation as the salvation of Israel. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. So Simeon is looking for God to console his people. It literally means to come alongside. Simeon was waiting for God to come to save his people. Now, interestingly enough, and this is just a side note, but Simeon was probably from the tribe of Simeon, which was Southern Kingdom, and Anna later was from the tribe of Dan, which was Northern Kingdom. So in Christ, he's bringing together Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom into one. Really cool. But anyway, this Simeon, who is probably from the Northern Kingdom, he's in Jerusalem. He's waiting for God to console them. And you remember Isaiah, I believe it's 7:14, where it talks about the virgin will be a child, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, does anybody know what it means? God with us. With us, El, God. God with us. And that's what he's waiting for. He knows this promise is for one to come, God to come and be with us. And so he's waiting. Now, you know what it's like when the Comforter comes to you. Like, say your house is burning, on fire, just about burned to the ground, and you're waiting for your best friend to come because you just are distraught. And that friend comes to you, and immediately you throw your arms around each other and you begin to sob. Because the Comforter has come, you can finally find expression to your grief, to your sorrow, to your discomfort. But if something happens when the Comforter comes, when the Comforter is at a distance, we don't get that full expression. But once the Comforter comes, we get to express sometimes our anger or frustration, but we finally find expression in the friend who comes to us. And I think that's what God is saying here through Simeon's song, is that God comes to you and he sticks around. He doesn't just come and go and come and go like he did in the Old Testament. He's saying, I'm doing a new thing. I'm coming and I'm staying. So I wrote a couple things down here that may be plaguing some of you or have plagued you in the past, and I'm sure the list could go on and on and on. But I want to remind you that God comes to you and he stays with you, first of all, when you're dead in your sins. When you were dead in your sins, God sent Jesus to pay for your sin, to redeem you, to call you to himself. But that's not where it ends. When God comes to you and is with you when you rush to the hospital with chest pains. God comes to you and is with you when you've been served divorce papers. God comes with you, or God comes to you and is with you when you're handed your pink slip at work. Not for pink slips, but for God being with us, right? God comes to you and is with you when you discover that your son is using illegal drugs, that your daughter is pregnant, not married. God is with you when the doctor announces that you have an aggressive form of cancer and you only have months to live. God is with you when you receive the call that your teenage daughter was just in an accident with a drunken driver and she's fighting for her life. God is with you. See, he doesn't stop at salvation. He comes to rescue you, and then he keeps coming to rescue you. I mean, he stays there, and he's with you so that he can rescue you. And when the Comforter is with you, you can express the fullness of your feelings to him and just bawl in his presence or rejoice in his presence. And when the Comforter is there, you get to do that. And that's what you see in Simeon. He's waiting and waiting and waiting for God to come to his people. And he happens to be in the temple when Mary and Joseph walk up to the altar and he sees this little baby, 40 days old. And he says, that's it. God has come to us. This is our consolation. This is our salvation. He gets to see it. Not only gets to see it, he gets to hold it. And he looks in God's eyes in his arms. and finds comfort there. God has finally come. If you were Simeon, you would not only be singing, but you'd be dancing. And that's why I sang what I sang, because I just picture not only Simeon just singing this lullaby, but dancing all around the room saying, oh, God's finally come. See, God comforts his people. We have to remember that God envelops us in his presence. Secondly, God executes his promises. Notice in verse 29, it says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss me. In other words, I can die now because I've seen it. The thing you told me was going to happen just happened. I'm done. I don't need anything else in this life. Because God does what he says he's going to do. Listen to what Isaiah writes in chapter 55 of his prophetic book. I should have marked the page, but I didn't. Isaiah 55. Verses 10 and 11. He says, As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty or void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, there was a specific reason why he was saying, God was saying that through Isaiah at that point, but that carries over into your life. If he has given you a promise, he will come through. God executes what he promises. Now, the problem is, it doesn't always happen in the time frame that we want it to happen. Notice, if you want to keep your finger there and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, this is one of those troubling passages of Scripture. Get under your skin a little bit. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. He says, But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. It's almost like tongue-in-cheek here when you read what he says. With the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. See, we don't have the same idea of slowness as God does. But he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, we don't like God's timing. But nonetheless, if he says he's going to do something, he's going to do something. And you can count on it. Even if it has been 15 years that you've been praying according to the promise that he's given you, that maybe your spouse will come to know Christ, or maybe your children will have a desire to read God's word, and you're like, oh, God, I've been praying for so long, and it's not happening. But you know when you started praying that God said, it will come to pass. There will be a day when that happens. And he says, hang on to my promise, because what I say, I will do. That's what the Bible is all about. You look at all the Old Testament, and you see the thousands of prophecies and promises that God made that came true. Because he is a man, a God of his word. He gives us promises, and probably all of the promises can be summed up in one or two lines. One is, I will be with you. I mean, is there any greater promise than that? That God is with us. And the moment that we put our faith in him, he comes and lives in us, and he is literally with us. And he says, if you call to me, can somebody finish it? I will answer you. And show you great and mighty things that you've never seen before. So why don't we see those things? Maybe we're not calling on him. Or maybe we're calling and we're impatient and waiting for him to bring to pass what we're asking him. Or we maybe have our eyes closed to what he's doing. But if he's promised you, it's going to come through. I remember I went on a pastor's prayer retreat. This was probably 6 years ago. I didn't know any of the pastors that were going, but I got this invitation in the mail. I thought, I'll take this. It was going to be at Spruce Lakes, a nice time of the year. It's November, cold, but it was nice. And so there wasn't really much of an agenda. They just said, pastors, you know, here's some guidelines for you, but now we're going to just send you out and you go pray. Just talk to God. So I did. I walked through the woods and on paths that weren't there. I mean, I just found my way through the woods because all the leaves were down and you could go anywhere you wanted to. So I'm walking just through the forest and just enjoying the quiet and listening to the The leaves crunch under my feet. And it was almost as if the leaves next to me were crunching under God's feet. And that's what it seemed like. It was that close. So I come up to this tree, and it's literally, it looks like a really long V. Two trees growing side by side. My immediate thought is, which one is going to die first? Because one always sucks the life out of the other. And then I began to think of my own life. I felt like God had called me to be a teacher, and he also called me to be involved in songwriting and music. I'm saying, okay, God, which one are you going to cut away? And as clear as anything in that moment, he said, there are going to be two trees in your life. Sorry, because this was, it was just so real. And he says, there will be teaching and there will be music. Now, that was just awesome to me. I mean, I fell on my knees literally right there in the middle of the forest, and I said, you must be kidding me. You know, it was one of those moments. But I still haven't seen all that come to pass, what he's going to be doing with all that. But it gave me such comfort to know that he's going to do that. I don't know what that's going to look like. And maybe it's already starting to look like something. But I know he's going to bring it to pass. And so he may have given you a personal promise along those same lines that's according to your gifting and according to your calling. And you might be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Still looking at your watch, and then you're flipping the pages of the calendar. And you just get tired of it. Because God's idea of slowness is not your idea of slowness. You think one day is long. He says 1,000 years. What's the big deal? Right? Hopefully he cuts that down a little bit, right? So maybe 3, 4, 5. But the point is that he keeps his promises. And through Simeon's song, we hear that God does what he says he's going to do. Let's look next at verse 32. What else do we learn from the song? We learn that God exposes his plan. He doesn't keep his plan quiet forever. He exposes his plan. He says in verse 32, yeah, got to get back to Luke. It would really help if I did that. Verse 32, he says, he's talking about salvation here, which is obviously in Jesus. It's a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This light is coming to the Gentiles to do what? To uncover God's plan. And one thing was that they were going to be included. It wasn't just for the Jews, it was for them. That was a mystery in the Old Testament. It was all about Israel in the Old Testament. Coming to the New Testament, and it's like, it's not just for Jews anymore. It is Jew and Gentile together as one, and this is a revelation. I mean, now that the Samaritans and the other non-Jews could kick up their heels because God didn't just come for the Jews, he came for me too. This is a light for the Gentiles, those who don't yet know God, who have no clue who God is. This is a light to reveal what God has planned for you. He exposes his plan to even those who do not know him, Gentiles, and don't know his promises. And God reveals to us what is mystery. Like I said, it was a mystery that the Gentiles were going to be included in all this. And so he comes and reveals it. You know, like we say revealing clothes reveal those things that are mystery. They should be mystery. They should be kept private. They should be kept under wraps. But when it's revealing, then it shows something that was mystery, okay? Revealing story. If somebody tells you a story and you don't know all the details, but now they're giving you all the details, it's no longer a mystery. Now I understand. And that's what God was doing. His light was to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to throw the covers off and say, this is what God has planned for you. His plan was exposed. Some of you may have played the old game Clue. Try to discover who did what with what and where. Okay. Murder mystery kind of game. But you're always wondering through the whole game until finally somebody says, I think I know what it is. It was Colonel Mustard with the lead pipe in the ballroom. Oh, well, you got two of them right, but you're still missing. You know, and so it's this mystery, but it's revealed. Remember the dating game? How many of you watched the dating game? Be real. Okay, be real. Oh, not too many of you. You know, there's a guy on this side of the screen, and then there's three girls on the other side of the screen. All you can do is ask questions and listen to answers, and then you decide which one you want to date. And so it's finally revealed that you say, I'll pick bachelorette number 2. And she comes around the screen, and you're like, oh, no. Or sometimes. Or maybe she comes around on the screen and you're like, whoo, wow. Lucky day, right? Kind of thing. But you know, remember what it was like, even in the newlywed game. Remember the newlywed game? It's like you're answering questions again and then you're flipping the cards up to reveal your answers. Yeah, remember those? Like a lot of broken ribs during that time. I can't believe you said that. But we love mystery being revealed. And God made us to enjoy the revealing of mysteries. And so he came to reveal what was mystery at that time. And it's cool because he says in the fullness of time he came and did those things. Galatians chapter 4, I believe it is. But ultimately, his plan is exposed in his son. Because we find out later from Paul and from other writers that his purpose is no longer hidden. His purpose is that you are conformed to the image of Christ. That is his plan for you. Like it or not, but we ought to like it. Because you look at Jesus' life in the scriptures and you're astounded at what he did. You're astounded at who he was. You're astounded at how he responded to people. And God is doing that with you. Christ is the standard. He's the mold, if you will, and you are being squeezed and formed and sometimes squished down if you're a lump of clay and reformed so that you look more like Jesus. Not physical attributes, the fruit of the Spirit. Those heart attributes that change you from the inside out. That's his plan. That's his purpose. It's no longer hidden, but in Christ, his plan is exposed. And the cool thing was, in order to do that, he took off the robes of royalty and put on human flesh. The stinking rags of human flesh, and he came and served you. And Philippians 2 tells us that he was not only a servant, but he was obedient. And not only was he obedient, but obedient unto death. Death on a cross. Most crucial thing, or the most ugly thing that could ever happen. And yet he did it for you. He threw the covers off his plan. He said, this is how I'm going to accomplish kingdom of God. Through death and resurrection. It's all in Christ. And Simeon was really excited that God's plan was going to be exposed, not only to his people, but to the Gentiles. God exposes his plan. One more. Verse 32, the second half of that says, and for glory to your people Israel. So the light was not only for the Gentiles. So that his plan for them was going to be revealed, but the light was to Israel for glory. Now when I think of glory, I think of his personality. God expresses his personality in Christ. That's his glory. In John chapter 1, verse 14, he says, we've seen his glory, or we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of, louder, grace and truth. You want to know what God's all about? It's not about law. It's about grace and truth. How do you know that? Because Jesus showed up and was full of grace and truth. That is God in the flesh. You want to know what God's all about? Look at Jesus. That is God's personality. His glory is like all about who he is. So you want to know what God's like? Look at Jesus. The glory, the full expression of one's true nature. You know when you look at, somebody looks at your son and they say, oh, spitting image of his dad. It's the glory of his father, right? Or in the scripture it says that the woman is the glory of man. So guys, don't get too proud because it's the one that's alongside of you that everybody's looking at. Okay, it's not you. It's not your cool goat. It's not your, the new part in your hair, whatever. Because the woman is the glory of the man. And as you become one in the process of this whole marriage relationship that starts on a wedding day, doesn't end on the wedding day, as you go through this process, you become more and more like each other so that when somebody looks at your wife, they see you too. Because she's your glory. And it says that Christ is the glory of God. Full expression of who he is. We read that in Hebrews and Colossians, that the fullness of God dwelt in bodily form in Christ. He's the full expression of who God was. The glory of God. Let me just read Colossians chapter 1. It says, you know, I believe it's verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. So he had the fullness of God. The glory of God was in him. And what's the glory of God? To reconcile us to himself. God exposes his personality. But it's all in Jesus. See, he envelops his people because Jesus shows up and he's with you. He executes his promises because it is all of God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That's where all his promises are fulfilled. Outside of Christ Jesus, you don't get the fulfillment of the promises. It's only a privilege for those who are in Christ Jesus through faith in his blood that was shed for you and through his resurrection power. God exposes his plan in Christ. He shows us his salvation because he is salvation. It's not that Jesus came and said, look, God gave me this scroll here with the plan of salvation on it. If you read it and you agree to it, just sign down here and you're good to go. No, what he said was, I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the only way to the Father. Why is that? Because he's the only one that came from the Father, so he's the only one that knows the way back to him. Christ is the way. And in Christ, his plan is exposed. In Christ. Outside of Christ, no plan. You're just aimless, listless in this world. In Christ, plan. Period. And God expresses his personality. I mean, you get to see what God is like. Isn't that so cool? I mean, one day we're going to see him face to face, which is really going to be awesome. We're probably going to wet ourselves when we do that. But the cool thing is that you can look at Jesus and not wet yourself and still understand who God is. Do you get that? And when his spirit lives in you, you get a fuller expression of who God is because now it's not just head knowledge and not eyes looking at Christ or looking at the words on a page. It is, I'm experiencing him because he lives inside of me. Is there any doubt why Simeon got so excited when he saw the consolation of Israel in the arms of his mother walking into the temple that day? He sang because God envelops his people, comes to them and comforts them in Christ. He sang because he executes his promises. He always does what he says he's going to do. Simeon sang because he exposes in Christ. God's plan is exposed. This is salvation. God is here with you. And in Christ, he expresses his full personality. This is who God is. Take a good, long look. And I dare you to say no to God. Because he's so good. Why would you? So take time over the next few days to look at this really familiar scripture passage and see what there is to sing about this Christmas season. Father, we thank you for Simeon, for making him a righteous and devout man who was waiting for your consolation. And we're so glad that it's recorded in the scriptures that he got to see it. It's really cool. Thank you for reminding us this morning how good you are to us. We pray, Father, that you would make a reality for us and to us and through us that Christ is everything. That he's present with us, that he's true to his word, that his plan is going to be fulfilled in him, and that your personality is totally seen in who he is. We praise you for that, and we rejoice this day in all your goodness. And Father, as we prepare for a meal, we thank you for the abundance of provision for us. We ask your blessing on our food and our fellowship, that in all things that are said and done, you would be glorified. We give you praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are not